tonight's going to be a dance class in two parts. So we'll do part one today. And in essence, what we're going to end up is understanding Romans and Galatians when they're talking about the faith of Abraham. We're going to get a while before we get that, so that will probably be session two, part two. So tonight we're going to look at just foundations. Yahweh's prophecy through Isaiah is when you study this book, you have to study it from Genesis to Revelation, and most people don't. They've never even read it. They read a chapter here or there, and they might do the New Testament, and that's it. And they're going to be deceived. And so a great principle is this right here. Everybody pick that up. You know, I call it the foundation for truth. And this is done by E.W. Bulger, How to Enjoy the Bible. No one passage to be interpreted in a sense repugnant to others. And repugnant, the actual meaning means opposite. Mm-hmm. Let me see here. Opposing. Not opposite, but opposing. So right now it can be detestable and all sorts of stuff. But it's opposing. So one scripture cannot be opposing to other clear verses. Now, we're going to start in third paragraph down. We don't have to read the whole thing, but it's very important. This principle is true because as no one text is repugnant or opposing to another, it is clear that to explain one as being so repugnant is what cannot lawfully be done. If one passage to be opposing or repugnant to others, then there's something amiss either in the translation of it or in our understanding of it. In either case, it behooves us to examine it and see where the fault lies. The one apparently more difficult passage must be understood, explained, and interpreted by the others, which are quite plain and clear. This is foundational. You have to have that, you know, because we're going to find difficult verses that people make a doctrine out of, and it has nothing to do with the rest of the verses. It actually contradicts the clear verses. If this method is not possible, then the difficult passages must be left unsolved for the present, with the prayer that Yahweh will, in His own time, bestow the needed favor and light. But in no case must we allow that one difficult passage to disturb all the others which are clear. Nor must we give heed for a moment to the false teachings which tradition may have founded upon his misunderstanding. And we have tons of those. Tradition has false teachings, and they have their one verse. And that's it. Forget the rest of the verses. We have one. Now, here, just an example. Does Jesus have a God? Yeah, he has a God. Well, if he has a God, and it's all over the place, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says in John, I go unto my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Well, if he has a God, then how many gods does that make so far?
One.
But they make him a God, and he's got a God, that makes two, which completely just shatters everything. So you got to say, those are the clear verses. He has a God. Deal with it. And if you think otherwise, you are making a very bad mistake. Nor must we give heed for a moment to any false teaching which tradition may have founded upon its misunderstanding or perversion of that one passage, whether through ignorance or malice. The same person who wrote this has done this many times in his own writings, you know, E.W. Bulger, because if you go, you know, he has a job, and he's an Anglican priest in England in the 1800s. If he goes against what the Anglican teaches, what happens to his job?
He loses his job.
And so any pastor, unless you started your own church, any pastor is hired. All right? And so their job is to fill that place up. Which is sad to say, because it's like a restaurant. If I want business at a restaurant, I give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Right? Real simple. And so if it's not what the people want, then they leave. Mm-hmm. And then I'm fired because the deacons come to me and say, hey, this place isn't growing, and you're fired. And so that's a sad state for these people. But you cannot turn your back on Yahweh and teach false doctrines. So, and here's just an example we'll give that. Let's go to Luke 14. We'll begin. You know, difficult scriptures. But all these ministers, it should be very simple, is if I have to speak against this book, bye. I'll go work concrete, or I'll be a cowboy, I'll go get a factory job. I'm never going to turn on my God, you know, Yahweh, because he's going to notice that. So it's good not to be paid. So the Apostle Paul, how much was he paid? He wasn't.
Moses.
Yeah, Moses wasn't paid. And so you got people who lead. Now, people give contributions, yes, but Paul was a tip maker. He supported himself. And that way, when all Asia left him in 2 Timothy, his income is not affected. They're all Asia. Why did they leave him? Because in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, there will be a season when the healthful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will they heap unto them teachers, because they have itching ears, and turn from the truth, they'll turn unto stories. That's it. And giving the people what they want. If they want multiple gods, you got it. Did Moses' people want multiple gods?
Yeah.
Yeah. And who gave him one?
His brother.
Yeah.
Aaron made him a god. People want gods. They want more than one god. You know, and so, and he's the prophet Moses' brother, older brother.
Yeah.
And it's such as older. But he's so pressured and pleasing the people, that happens over and over again. But look, for example, here is a difficult verse, 14:25-26. Amen. Here. There we go. And there were joined together with him many multitudes, and turning he said unto them, if anyone cometh unto me and hateth not his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, further also his own life, he cannot be my disciples. Oh, wait a minute here. I thought this was supposed to be love. Now he just says hate. You can't be my son unless you hate these people.
And yourself.
And yourself.
Yeah. And let's go to 1 John. Is that a difficult verse?
No. Yeah.
So it has to be understood in the light of all the other verses. So let's go to 1 John and what it says, because it's going to completely contradict that verse. Chapter 2, verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now.
Wait a minute.
Okay. I thought we were supposed to hate our brothers. That's Luke 11. Whereas he that hateth his brother is in darkness dwelleth, and the darkness walketh. And 3:15. Whosoever is hating his brother is a what? Murderer. Well, wait a minute here. This has got to work out somehow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's very simple. Luke has to be understood in the light of the rest of the Word. And as a real simple in relationship, I must, in relationship to being Christ's disciple, he's first. My wife is not. And if it comes down to the point that she wants to deviate, nope. My parents want to deviate, nope. Then I'm choosing Christ, and the rest of you, adios, goodbye. Very very sensible. That just makes sense. But it cannot be understood that nobody's going to have this in their statement of beliefs in their church.
Or their wedding vows. I will hate you.
Yeah.
I said right here, I hate my wife.
My parents, everybody have wedding vows.
I hate myself.
That's fine. So what is this book all about? I must understand the concept from Genesis to Revelations. And it's all about life, age, and body. After we die, I want to live on. In the Garden of Eden with Yahweh and now Christ. That's what I want. It's, that's what the whole story is about. We know in Genesis, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 32. We'll go to Genesis.
15?
And this is what people do with, I want to be in heaven when I die. I don't want to be dead for 1,000 years waiting for Christ's return. So what do? I need a verse to get me into heaven when I die, and that's 2 Corinthians 5. And in the King James, it will say, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's my verse. And Kenneth Copeland Ministries, all the other ministries, Billy Graham, everybody. Because we want to go to heaven when we die.
Yeah.
Everybody wants, the sheep want that. The sheep want to go to heaven after they die. Well, then I have a problem. Because then life is actually keeping me out of heaven, right? Well, that's not, I mean, being alive keeps me from Jesus. So then really, death is not my enemy. Death gets me to Jesus. Well, so when children are sick, I should pray for their death because I want them to be with Jesus in heaven. So aborted babies go straight to heaven. Is something wrong with this? Yeah. Isn't that the sickest thing you could ever imagine? But that's what you've done by putting an elderly person, well, that's good. So they're 90 years old, 100 years old, they die. They're there with Jesus. And now we're going to talk to them in Jesus. Well, that's the other problem, too, is if they're alive in heaven, can I talk to them? Can I pray to them? You know? And Catholic, I don't know if you're a Catholic or not, but you've got to understand this is Catholicism because according to Catholicism, Mary never died, she just ascended to heaven. Mm-hmm. It's called the Annunciation, I think. Well, then people are praying, that's the rosary, I was raised a Catholic. And people pray the rosaries and you got one Our Father and 10 Hail Marys. Well, wait a minute here, wow, that seems awful backwards. Shouldn't it be 10 Our Fathers and 1 Hail Mary? But now I'm praying to Mary, and then Protestants say, you can't pray to Mary. Okay. Now, okay, Protestant, if Mary's in heaven, which you say she is, they say, yes, she's in heaven, is she the mother of Jesus? Oh, yes, she's the mother of Jesus. Why can't I talk to Mary and put me in good word with Jesus? Well, that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I might even talk to the Apostle Paul. Pretty good. Then you start creating these monsters. You know, I'm going to pray to Apostle Paul. And I'm going to pray to Moses. Yeah, that's Moses, a big guy there. You know, he's very popular. Abraham, even better. Man, the faith of Abraham. And I'll just, because my prayers are, so I'm going to bypass and just go, because they're all heaven anyway. Then, okay, 15. 32, but that's the mess that happens. And this is very simple. If after, you know, 32, if after, you know, 1 Corinthians 15 is all about dying and waiting for the resurrection. Dying and waiting for the resurrection. Why do I need to be resurrected if I'm already in heaven? I don't need a body. I've had a body for 1,000 years in heaven. I mean, it's a big, this book says just the opposite because in the Bible, in the Word of Yahweh, it says we're asleep. We're asleep before the resurrection, and then we're awoken. And here, Paul makes a very good statement.
What verse?
32, 1 Corinthians 15, 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what to me the profit? If the dead are not awoken, and that's egairo, are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Oh, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense because all the people are in heaven already.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they need a resurrection? They're already up there. See? Problem. Because itching ears want to be in heaven, I'm going to get you there in heaven. Is it true? No, it's not true. But I'll get you there. Now, we know, back to this book, from beginning to end, it's about salvation or life age abiding or what they call everlasting life. That's where we want to be. And so how do we get there is the question. And we know in Genesis 2:9, all right, we don't have to go there. We're going to have to do something to get there. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right?
Right.
Is that works?
Yes.
Yes. Don't do this. And if you don't, if you do that, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die.
Yeah.
Well, that's not very nice. And if I'm going to die, didn't that mean just put me in heaven? You know? No? Okay. So I want life age abiding, so I want to eat of the tree of life. In Revelation 21, let's go there. Actually, it's 20, not 21. So, our subject, our core subject is this word, the faith by faith, by faith. And Martin Luther said that sola fide, which is by faith alone, by faith alone. Okay, everything's by faith. Not by works of righteousness, but by his faith alone. Not by works of righteousness, but by his grace, the grace alone. I think it's faith. And you have to say, okay, is that how people get to heaven? And not heaven, but they get life age abiding. Because we're going to see all the way through this book, it is by doing righteousness, doing the Ten Commandments. And the Catholic Church is good on that because they're actually saying, yeah, you need to keep doing good all your life. The Protestant Church is saying, no, you don't have to, because it's not by your works anyway. It's by
faith.
It's by through grace by faith. Yeah. And so you're like, okay, that's a real problem, because if I don't have to do works, then I can go sin. Right?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. But I'm in. I can sin. Well, let's just see if that's what the whole book says. So there we go into 11. So we know at the beginning it was by works. Don't do this or you're going to die. You did it and you died. Revelations 20:11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that was sitting thereon, from whose face fled the earth and heaven, and place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the book according to their what?
Works.
Works.
Wait a minute. Well,
wait a minute here. And the sea gave the dead and in it, and the death and Sheol, not Hades, but Sheol gave up the dead, and in them that they were judged, each one according to their works. Twice. Back to the works again. And death and Hades, or Sheol, were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Well, wait a minute. Nobody ever dies. And so in the Protestant and Catholic today, they have created the soul, which is an immortal thing that never dies, or spirit. We have this and you cannot die. But, you know, this book doesn't say that. Absolutely. The word is nephesh. We can't go into that. But nephesh has nothing to do with immortality. And guess what? There wouldn't be a second death because, guess what? Nobody ever dies. And so according to Gloria Copeland, when you die, you're just changing addresses. You don't die. Your body dies, and then you just fly off to the other place. So death doesn't exist. Now death doesn't exist because something's immortal, then I have to have a place for those really bad people. So I'm going to create a place called what?
Hell.
Hell. Well, because they just can't float around and get away with it. So I'm going to have to fly. Well, interesting, though, because in hell, everybody gets the same torture, right? I mean, it's a bad place.
Yeah.
Well, you got Stalin there and Hitler there.
Pol Pot.
But then I have a Hebrew neighbor who's not going to make Christ his Lord, who pays his taxes, who, you know, gives to the poor and does good things, doesn't break any laws, Now, how's it right that this person is going to be equivalent with Hitler and everybody else for eternity? Everlasting. Well, that's not just. That's not just at all. So you've got to create a monster by creating hell. But since the soul's immortal, they got to go someplace. So John 3:16 is for Yahweh. For God. Right now, it's Jesus. For Jesus so unconditionally loved the world that he gave his only begotten self, that whosoever believes in him should not go to hell, but go to heaven. That's what everybody teaches. Well, that's not what John 3:16 says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's two. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, apolumai, but have life age abiding. So they gave us two things. You either perish. Does that mean you exist?
No.
Because you're what? It's the word perish. And or life. Do you exist? Yes. And so what happens is one's going to perish, one's going to do. Okay. And 22:1-2, we won't go there in Revelation. But it's a great about the Garden of Eden, about the tree of life, or eating of the tree of life and living forever. Okay. Now, it's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone, you know, and faith, by faith. Okay, let's go to Matthew. Let's see if Christ knew about this. Matthew 19.
We're in Matthew 19. Okay.
Verse 16. And this is the rich young ruler.
I'm sorry, Chuck. What verse?
16. Matthew 19:16. And lo, one coming near unto him, Yahushua, said, and for Suzanne, Jesus, or Jesus, is not his real name. His name is Yahushua. Mm-hmm. It's the same as Joshua. And we can show that on the Hebrew name is Yahushua. Yahweh did not name his son Jesus. He did name him Jesus. He did name him Iesus. So the Greek pronunciation is Iesus. Jesus is closer to Iesus. Jesus is not close at all. And Mary is not Mary. Her name is Miriam. And in Spanish, it's actually Maria. And so they changed, you know. So what happened is, it's Miriam, just like Moses' sister was Miriam. They changed, so the Greeks changed Miriam to...
Mary.
No, to Maria. Ave Maria. Mm-hmm. And then it finally got changed to Mary. And has nothing to do with it. So that's wrong too. But we know who you're talking about. But here it is. Yahushua. And lo, one coming near unto him said, Teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have life age abiding? You can do no good things. You cannot get there. Right? That's today.
Faith alone.
Yeah, by faith alone. And he said unto him, Why dost thou question me concerning that which is good? There is one that is good, but if thou desires into life to enter, he's going to tell him how to enter life.
Not heaven.
Yeah, not heaven. Be keeping the what?
Commandments.
Well, that's works. Yes. Yes, it is works. He said unto him, which, Yahushua said, which commandment? Oh, yeah, you got it. You know all 10 of them. Which, thou shalt not commit murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The guy says, the young man said unto him, these I have kept. What? Liar! Liar! Nobody can keep the commandments. All right? And so that's the Protestant now, not Catholics, but the Protestant liar. In that account, obviously, Yahushua didn't know about this.
Because it says no.
And that's, but it's in the same accounts in Mark 10:17, Luke 18:18. Now, we're going to get into our particular age where Yahushua died and was ascended. So before that, all right, is the the law of Moses in Yahushua's time. people for their sins, they got offerings, and they had to pay for their sins every time they did it. A calf, you know, animals, and sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And the day of what they call Yom Kippur, the day of propitiation, or the day of atonement, it was the one time that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and made a sacrifice for everybody. Okay. Well, now when Yahushua ascended, then he became the sacrifice, a one-time sacrifice. So we don't have to do what they did. But that only happened after he ascended. Okay, and we saw that in the book of Hebrews. He went in once only. So he became the Lord. And let's go to Luke 6. And Lord means master. And so, does master mean owner?
Yes.
Yeah. It's voluntary. Is our master very good? Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to make him your Lord, what does that entail? Does it entail any works there? Yeah, I got to do what he says. He's my master.
Yeah.
Clean the kitchen. Yes, sir. No, love your wife. Yes, sir. Well, it's not an option. You made a decision.
Uh-huh.
And why the Hebrew did not do it, and we had a Hebrew neighbor, and you're not going to bow to Christ, okay.
Your freedom
then,
of will.
Yeah, by your freedom of will, you don't have to bow to Christ, and you're going to die, and you're going to perish. So be it. If you did not commit any big sins and things like that, there's no restitution. All right, you're going to get up, and Christ is going to say, "You didn't bow to me," into the second death, lake of fire, your throne. Yeah, no problem. Why Hitler? As we saw in another teaching, Hitler. Now we got some work to do here. You've got a lot to pay back before you're thrown in the lake of fire, because that's called justice. All the people that you hurt and terrified their life, you're going to pay for every one of them. And how long? If it takes 1,000 years, it takes 1,000 years. And so I believe this will occur in the 1,000-year reign.
You believe that?
Yeah, I believe that. It's not in here, but that's another teaching altogether. But that's called a millennial kingdom. But these people, Yahweh says they're going to get it. He says, "Vengeance is mine; I will repay," said the Lord. And that's good, because if somebody put me in, here's just an example. If somebody stole $100,000 from me and spent it, and then came up to me and said, "I'm sorry," does that solve everything?
No.
What do I want? I want $100,000 back.
Yeah.
Well, I spent it. I'm sorry. No, no. You're going to pay it back. And I'm going to make you pay it back, and that's called restitution. Yahweh's very big on restoring. If you stole a lamb, you had to pay back five lambs.
Seven, yeah,
that was it. That's called, instead of, "Oh, just forget them." And if somebody killed my wife or my child, and they said they're sorry, no, that doesn't get it, guy. That doesn't get it. Now, if you've been watching pornography and you're not hurting anybody, you're just hurting yourself. You know, so there's no restitution. Okay, I can understand that. You know, you just messed your whole life up.
Did it to you.
You know, African slave.
Yeah, things like that. But yeah, if you own an African slave and you tortured him and you beat him and he had no freedom for the rest of his life and you sold his wife and his children, you owe this guy big time. And actually a great example is David with Uriah. Mm-hmm. And as a believer, I should want to pay back all of it. So David had Uriah killed. Now, who did that affect? That affect Uriah. That affect his parents. That affects brothers and sisters. And it affected the guys who were killed with Uriah. Guess what? When David gets up, he's going to be glad to say, "I'll work for you guys as long as it takes to pay back my sin." And that's good, yeah.
Yeah.
And as a person, you should say, "I want to do that." Mm-hmm. Instead of, "Oh, man,
You didn't get away with that?
Yeah, I didn't get away with that. I said, I'm sorry.
All those banks.
Yeah, man. All those banks. Yeah, like, but that's Christianity today. It just so gets so warped because you're not reading the whole book. Now, we saw that about works. Now, the Old Covenant, we go to Ezekiel, and this is justice. Yahweh says...
What page is Ezekiel?
8.6.
Yeah. I am Yahweh. Where is that? Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus saith Yahweh, let not the wise go on, but it says, I delight in chesed, justice and righteousness. The three attributes Yahweh does is chesed, justice and righteousness. But Ezekiel 18:26. Sorry, 26-28. And this is very important. It's called restitution, which nobody teaches. When a righteous man shall turn away from his righteousness and do that which is perverse and die because of those doing, in his own perversity which he had done shall he die. All right, and when we're talking here, it's always been a life of the second death or life age of body. Next verse. But when a lawless man turns away from his lawlessness, which he hath done, and hath done what?
Justice
and righteousness. He shall save his own soul alive. When he considered, then he turned away from all his transgressions, which he had committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. But we're going to see, in the same place, is he restored. Let me see here. Well, there's another place here. I thought I had it here. But he has to restore everything before he gets life.
Right? This is make good your return and live.
Yeah. You got to restore everything.
Why cannot take delight in the death of him that died, the clear blood?
Now, our subject is really going to be on understanding by faith. By faith, by faith. And it's always referring to Abraham. By the faith of Abraham. So we're going to look at Genesis 26. And this is a really powerful verse. And so, Martin Luther on this subject in the appendix to Romans says, none of the good works that Abraham did count.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he actually says that because it was by faith. And what is faith exactly? What is... Can you get a handle on faith? And so we're going to see something different here.
26 what?
26, 1. This is the end of Abraham's story. And there came to be a famine in the land besides the first famine, which happened in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went his way unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, towards Gerar. And Yahweh appeared to him and said, do not go down toward Egypt. Make thy habitation in the land which I made name unto thee. Is that an option?
No.
Like the Ten Commandments, are those suggestions?
No.
They're commandments. Sojourn this land that here's a condition too. Sojourn this land that I may be with thee. If you don't sojourn this land, what?
You won't be with
me. I'm not going to be with you. And bless thee, for to thee and to thy seed will I give all these lands. So I establish the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father, and will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and will give to thy seed all these lands, and all the nations of the earth shall bless themselves in thy seed. Why is he going to do this? Because, very simple, right? He's going to answer that question. Because Abraham hearkened unto my voice. One thing. And so kept my charge, two things. My commandments, three things. My statutes, four things. And my laws, five things. What made Abraham righteous? These works. Because he could have said, you know, to Isaac, go, or we're going to look at later on, go kill your son. And he can say, yes, sir, boss, and then went and ate breakfast. Would that be all right?
No.
No. All right, and how he was declared righteous, and we're going to see in James.
Just a hop, skip, and jump.
In James 2. Yeah. 14. And so this just rocks everything. So this all has to be brought together. Yeah, 2:36. What profit, my brother?
Paul.
Okay.
James, what, honey?
2:14. Chapter 2, verse 14. Well, let's just go to 21. We'll carry this on. Abraham, our father, was it not by works he was declared righteous?
Amen.
Well, it says just the opposite. Everybody else is saying just it wasn't his works, it was by faith. When he offered Isaac his son upon the altar, thou seest that his faith had been working together with his works. So faith is to operate into the unknown. Yahweh says, Melania, I want you to give this church all of your money. And you go, If you do that, then that is a faith walk. But your works prove that you actually walk by faith. If Abraham said, come out of Mesopotamia or Ur of the Chaldeans, come out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, he said, I will, Lord, and stay there and build a house. Now, the works validate, verify your faith.
Oh, I see.
Without the works behind it, it's just lip. It's just smacking your lips.
Yeah. Like Joe.
And that's what he said to the parable about the sons. And he says, who obeyed the Lord? He said, I tell one son, go. And he says, yes, sir, and doesn't go. And he tells the other son, go, and he says, no, I will not go. But then he goes. He says, which one did his father's will? The second one. All right? It has to be actions. There has to be things on that. But then I think we'll stop there till we might even have part three. That's part one. I haven't really covered the stuff that we're trying to get to. But the whole book. Wait a minute. Let me go ahead and finish this up. We're going to give a prophecy to the people. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words to our Lord and Savior, Mashiach. I thank you, Christ, for redeeming us, being tortured from us, not only dying, but being tortured for us, and then making us righteous by your sacrifice, and enabling us to receive the gift of Holy Ruach, HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit. So we thank you, and what a privilege that is. And we do bow to you, and not only on our knees, but in our heart, as circumcised of the heart. We're not stiff neck, we're not a hard heart, but we'll do, sometimes very reluctantly, to do your will, to make you well pleased in us. So we thank you for these words. Be at peace and know I abide in peace, that I abide in sanity and safety. I abide in truth. I abide in words of comfort, exhortation. So all the time, speak words that build people up. Speak to them the truth that will set them free, as you have been set free, according to my word. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Chuck.
Okay.